Hey everybody, it's Brian. Before I did this Seahawks stuff full-time, I worked as a manager and senior leader, so I know how lonely it can be to try to find someone you trust to talk through people issues, org issues, process issues as you try to lead an organization. Ryan Cleveland of RyanCleveland.com is someone I trust to have those conversations with. He specializes in working with CEOs and business owners, and you can get a complimentary free discovery session to see if it's a good fit for you. Just go to RyanCleveland.com to sign up and start now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Real Hawk Talk, a special episode of Real Hawk Talk, as we come to you on this Wednesday, May 14th, the day that the NFL schedules are revealed. And fellas, it is 21 minutes before when the schedules are supposed to be revealed. And last I checked, I can tell you every single game for every single team. So the NFL has not figured out how to keep this a secret. They did better this year. It lasted longer, but we will still, we're going to reveal the schedule in just a second. We'll go through that. We are also going to find out, I don't think we know all the times of the games. And I also think that there's sometimes that the leaks are wrong. There's sometimes that the primetime games aren't all right. So we'll find out for sure live together. Let me bring in the fellas, Evan Hill at Evan Hill HB, Jeff Simmons at Real Jeff Simmons. Evan, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday?
I'm doing wonderful. And I'll just tell you, when you said sometimes the leaks are wrong, my blood pressure just spiked a little bit because we just made some flight bookings. But I'm sure the leaks are correct. I'm going to pray they are. So
I think based on the work that I've done leading up to today, I think they're right. But you know what? That's part of the excitement. We won't know for sure for another little bit. Jeff, how are you doing? Let's make sure your mic is working. That's always a fun part of the show.
I thought we had solved that problem, but
I did too.
During the draft,
I've heard from some people that like your mic on Rob's show is flawless. So maybe it's something, you know, maybe it's something with me in particular.
I don't know. Like during the draft, like my mic cut out right before we traded up for him and Yori, and I had to like storm back. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all the Hawk bloggers. Maybe it's too much for my Canadian internet, but it seems to work now.
Do you guys, did I tell you how many people watched our content over draft weekend?
No.
Like unique viewers or what are we talking?
Viewers about? Across all platforms. So TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube.
I don't know.
It was almost 2 million people.
I'm sorry they have to see our faces.
I know, especially mine, but like, it's wild. It's wild. The three of us would get together and talk about this with zero people watching. So the fact that there are two million people that I think probably, you know, not all 2 million probably will come back after they witnessed what they witnessed. But yeah. that was fun. And man, we're building something here. And part of what's going on here is that there's Seahawks stuff that's worth talking about. Like I think there's renewed interest in this team and this schedule. Like, I don't, Evan, like,
well, yeah. Can I jump in?
Yeah.
I want to jump in on like what you're about to say. And I know you're about to say it. It's like, yeah. I can't remember the last time our group, like our podcast group has been like so incessant about the schedule and like, when can we book, you know, the away game for this year? How fast can we book the flights? How fast can we set up accommodations? Like, we want to go to the city. We're excited about this football team. You know, it's been a while, like genuinely.
It's usually just you harassing Josh to try to get him to go to games and Jeff, like figuring out when he can come and like crash on your place to terrorize Arizona. But no, this year is definitely a lot more enthusiasm. Jeff, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna reveal the schedule here in a second. But for you, was there a particular game that you were really eager to figure out when that was gonna be?
It was the Titans game, which is weirdly enough. There's not a lot of, like, I don't love going to Seahawks road games. I much prefer going to the home games. I like watching on TV for the most part. but I hadn't been to Nashville in years, and it's one of the coolest places I've ever been. And I was saying to Evan today, I've only really been on like bachelor party, like guys trips, like so I don't know of how much I like got to explore, like walked around. So I've been just like playing around with random dates to see when it's going to come out, and I've been monitoring flights. But the Seahawks are in Nashville, what, like once every 8 years? I think they're actually there 2 years ago, so they're back there for whatever reason. But it's supposed to be once every 8 years, and I think I was on my honeymoon the last time they played the Titans game, and the game was so bad, the Seahawks like barely won. That was the last year of Pete Carroll, yeah. And I hated that game.
That was a Geno Smith comeback drive game.
They needed like an insane amount of luck to come back against.
Oh
like,
my God,
a CFL a team.
Yeah, that, like great third down catch, like up the middle, and
that
yeah.
was a horrible game. But that whole year was pretty horrible, and that team was kind of where we all had the opposite of what you were just talking about.
Well, you know, it's like the vibes are so different, and it's like I did a show the other day just looking at the ages of the NFC West different position groups and how young the Seahawks are at so many position groups. Like they're the second youngest cornerback group in the NFC West, and they're the best by far, like very clearly the best corner room. And like there's other parts of this that are, I think it's young and up and coming. It's not like old and decaying. And I think that's kind of fun, but this could be recency bias, guys, but I've had more fun going to away games the last few years than I have to the home games. And it's, I think partially like recency about last year, they were shit at home and they were pretty much almost undefeated away. So that was fun, but it's kind of fun going into these other cities, experiencing the other cities, you know, seeing other Seahawks fans and going to these stadiums and like, just, it's different, you know, it's like, it's a fun way. And so I highly encourage everybody that doesn't do that, like pick a game, go travel to see the Seahawks play this year for sure.
There's a different dynamic, I feel like, of fans that go to some of these away games too. And I think it's probably easily explained, but like, I'll give you an example. When I was in New York last year, watching the Lions game, it wasn't for a New York football game, but it was like, you know, a Seahawks bar in New York, and just hanging out with those folks who were so kind, so courteous. Like tons of people came up to me and were like, say hi to Brian for me, say hi to Jeff. Like, I'm not even kidding. They were like real hot drinks on us. They were giving me like clothing, and it was insane. But like, I was talking to several fans and they were like telling me their stories of how they became Seahawks fans. And you know, it's people who literally have zero connection to Seattle, but have been rooting for the team for like 15, 20 years just because they liked the colors in the mid-2000s. And it's like, that's so different than like somebody who grew up in Seattle or something. It's just a totally different dynamic. So it's fun.
Yeah. Jeff, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, like, before we kind of built this community and you've kind of branched out, like, I had been to road games in Buffalo and Detroit. Those are the two closest borders to Toronto. And I went with like other people who weren't really Seahawks fans, and I didn't have great experiences. And since like we've brought this group together, I've come out for, I think it was the Baltimore game in like 2019. We went to that terrible Thanksgiving game against San Francisco. And last year we went to the opener, which ended up being a sweet game. And for half of it, it was terrible. But like, just to like, for me to like see all the different Seahawks fans, like Evan said, I haven't got to experience that on the road yet, really, since this group's really come together. So I wish I've kind of been able to do that more. I know a lot of people go to Arizona like yearly. I know that's a fun trip, but like the only road games I've really been to were kind of before I knew any of you guys. And I didn't really know Seahawks fans. Like I'm in Toronto, I'm kind of on my own, and like, it's been a big difference. And I'm very excited for kind of branch out for this as the team gets better.
We haven't talked about this. You guys came out from the opener last year. We had our Patreon Ring of Honor dinner at Daniel's Broiler, which was awesome. And the season opener this year against the 49ers. Are you guys coming out for that?
I think so.
You gotta come out, man.
As long as tickets are not like $30,000 each, and they might be. They might
be. I will find you tickets. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm coming regardless. Like, yeah.
I'd love to buy another steak dinner. Like,
I'll tell you this, like Jeff, you got to make it to that game, because the last time we were watching a Niners game together, I just remember getting Was it Thanksgiving?
It was Thanksgiving two years ago.
I remember getting our asses spanked on Thanksgiving. Yeah. And we just had to continue drinking to like lubricate our pain mentally. And I remember like that walk home downtown with me afterwards.
I was so bad. Like
chirping at Niner fans, wondering if I was going to make it home alive that night. Like that's just an iconic memory.
Yeah, we had to walk up some giant hill, and I was so mad about the game. I was complaining. And Evan got to see like a crazy side of me too last year during the opener, where I was just ripping on Broncos fans. But Bo Nix is worse.
You're ripping on Bo Nix.
Yeah, Bo Nix was terrible in that game. And like, I just turned to the guys like stone faced and like, your guy sucks. But they had nothing back. And
it worked out for them.
Evan's right, though. Like, that would be a very different experience, I believe, this year compared to what we saw, where they were like in their peak and we were a pretty bad team and it was hard to watch.
All right, let's do this. Let's do, since we started talking about the schedule in week one, let's go through. We're going to go week by week. First, I'm going to go through and I'm just going to knock out every game, and then we're going to go through and we're going to talk about each one. Does that work for you guys?
Wonderful.
All right. So, like, I thought I was going to be able to reveal this to people ahead of time, you know, but it ended up coming out. So I did have a chance to work on this little beautiful design. I know you like it when I design things, Evan. You love my
I was going to say, this is some like real production level upgrades.
Come on, dude. Like,
flashback to episode one with like webcam, like,
There's some weird, creepy dude like in the corner of our show. Yeah.
This is an upgrade.
We've come a long way.
We've come some ways for sure. So week one, home against the 49ers. As of now, I don't know that this – I have not heard this is a primetime game. I would assume that it's a 1 o'clock game. We will find out for sure in a little bit. Week two, at the DK Metcalfs in Pittsburgh, week two. Week three, home against the New Orleans Saints. So if you heard my show this morning, I got this one wrong. I had a better source. I found out that this was not Houston. This is home against the Saints, which is an easier start than it would have been if it was Houston, that's for sure. Then a Thursday night football game in Evan's backyard. That will be week four. Week five, back home against the Tampa Bay Bucks and Baker Mayfield. Week six, to Jacksonville. So you've got this home away, home away, home away alternating going on. So across the country to Jacksonville to face Travis Hunter and Liam Cohen Duval. And then week seven, we've got the Houston Texans at home for a Monday night football game in Seattle. We're going to get a Monday night football game in Seattle. CJ Stroud, we get a relaxing bye week, week eight. So not totally middle of the year, but pretty close. Not too early of a bye week. Week nine, we get the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, you know, the whole nine, Bobby Wagner.
Oh, yeah.
Away in Washington, week nine, Sunday night football, prime time. So another prime time game. Then we come back home for week 10 against the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. We go to the LA Rams in week 11. This is the first back-to-back part of the schedule in road games. There have not been back-to-back road games up until now. So to LA and then to Tennessee for that game we were talking about. That will be, I don't have the dates here for you, but I can tell you the dates. That will be November 23rd, if anyone's checking their calendars. Week 13 will be home against the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold's rematch against his old team in week 13. Then they go to Atlanta to face Michael Penix Jr. I'm looking forward to this one. Week 14. Week 15 will be home against Anthony Richardson or maybe Daniel Jones and the Colts. Week 16, a Thursday night football game at home against the LA Rams. So a short week, but back-to-back. That's the first back-to-back home games of the season. Week 15 and week 16. And then they go on the road. So they get a mini bye between the Thursday night game against LA at home. And then they travel to Carolina to face Bryce Young. Week 17, Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, old Seahawks folks over there. And they finish up the season with back-to-back road games at Carolina in week 17 and then at the 49ers. So the season bookends first game and last game against the 49ers. All right, let's get into it, guys. Jeff, I'm going to give you first dibs here. What is your first reaction to the schedule?
Feels like they have a lot of away games.
They do have more away games. They have one more away game than they do home games.
So I was counting in my head, but it seems like they're not playing that run of quarterbacks they had to play last year. Usually that's the first thing I look at, who are the quarterbacks they're playing. Their schedule seems way better than last year. Number one. And number two, there aren't a lot of periods where like they're getting killed on like the rest differential. Like it seems like they've gone from pretty good situations with rest where they have like the bye week coming out of the Monday nighter where that might be a short week that leads into another primetime game. It looks like they got a pretty favorable schedule from a travel and a rest. Other than that, like the second half of the schedule is a lot of road games, but overall it looks pretty favorable.
There's not like any specific stretch of this schedule where I'm like, ooh, those 3 to 4 games could put a nail in our season or, you know, bounce us out of the playoff standings. Like the last two games on the road, not great, but like those first 6 games, yeah, you're opening up against San Francisco, your bitter rival. But if you beat them, if you set the tone week one at home, put the Niners on their back, you know, back foot, like you could start off the season pretty strong here. Like I don't know. I don't want to get too optimistic too early and get ahead of myself.
Oh, you can get plenty optimistic. We need all the optimism we can get. We got a 7.5 over under for our wins on the season, my friend.
Oh my gosh. I am not a financial advisor, but maybe I am in this moment. Throw as much money over that on that over as possible. That's a money printer glitch.
It is for the second year in a row, I think easy money. Of course, again, not making any recommendations for people. You make your own decisions about where you put your money, but I think the only stretch of this schedule that where you've got back-to-back games that look challenging might be the first two. Would you guys like, and granted, we don't know what the 49ers defense is going to look like with those rookies. They've got Alfred Collins, CJ West, that could be like, if they don't start those guys, you're talking about Jordan Elliott and Kevin Givens in the middle of that line. Mykal Williams might be good. He might not, and he might not be good right away. Their corner situation, Trey Brown, like, is he their starting corner opposite Renardo Green? Like, who's filling in for Tre'Varius Ward? They don't have Malik Mustafa. So, like, the defense, I have some questions. The offense, I don't know. Like, Trent Williams is probably going to be healthier early in the season than he will be later. Christian McCaffrey probably as well, but we'll see. And then the Steelers, they have a really good defense, but, Aaron Rodgers and, like, I don't know. I that game feels tough because it's away and Pittsburgh's a tough place to play. But Jeff, what's your take on the Steelers?
I was actually looking at their roster the other day. I have a buddy that's a Steelers fan and he's one of these guys that always thinks his team's incredible. And he seemed really beaten down. And I'm like, is he just being annoying? And so I looked up their roster and I understood it. They're a team that's kind of stuck in the middle. They're not bad enough to get a high pick. They picked 21 this year. They make the playoffs every year. They haven't had a losing season. But I was looking through their team outside of like some of their young O-linemen. They have like the opposite of the Seahawks where they have like no young good players. And so they're kind of this unbalanced roster where DK is one of their guys that they're hoping emerges, but they have some older players. Like I didn't realize Cam Hayward's like 36 years old. Sorry, Josh. It's TJ Watt, but like they don't have those like young ascending players. So they're going to be a tough team because of how good that defense is, but they don't have like outside of DK, they trade away Pickett. Like who's their number two receiver? Who's their running back? We don't even know who their quarterback is. There's Arthur Smith is their OC who's had a weird run there. Like it's a weird team that's kind of trapped. It's a lot like the Jets that had Aaron Rodgers.
I think the main thing I would add, Jeff, one of my good friends here in Arizona is a Pittsburgh transplant. TJ Watt, he may have lost a step. Like, there were stretches last year where he disappeared for long portions of the season. And I mean, he's got to be their highest paid guy, I imagine, right? Maybe
DK. And he wants a new contract.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be really interesting that game. Obviously, DK. I've watched DK go against Reek Woolen in practice time and time again. And I'll be honest, DK got the better of that more times than Reek did, at least in practice. But that'll be fascinating. But we kind of skipped over the San Francisco game a bit. One thing there is the 49ers, they were one of the teams that took over the stadium for some of these games. Do you think that's less likely in week one, like the season opener? Do you guys think it's more likely that season ticket holders will hold on to that game? What are your thoughts?
That's a good question.
Like, there were a lot of Broncos fans at that opener last year.
That's fair. That's fair.
A good point, Jeff. Yeah. We were surrounded.
It wasn't quite a takeover, though.
No, but our section felt like bad. Like, way more Broncos fans. But there was weird vibes last year with the Seahawks where Pete was let go and no one really knew what to expect. They didn't have a very fun, like, offseason of moves. There wasn't a lot of momentum for that team. So I don't know. I feel like Niners fans are also in this weird state right now where they don't really know what they're supposed to do with their team, where like they're in the last kind of window of this group, but they lost basically their entire defense in free agency. And outside of like the David Lombardis of the world, not a lot of people love their draft. I don't know. I really don't know. That's a tough one to predict.
I mean, let me ask you guys this, like, for the normie Seahawks fan who is like not watching a podcast like this, do you think they have like a higher level of enthusiasm entering this year than they did last year for the normie?
I don't know. The part of the reason I don't know is because I just think a lot of fans, and probably a higher percentage of normies, to use your term,
sure,
were not Geno Smith fans.
That's what I was saying.
I agree with you. I agree with you strongly. So I'm wondering if the Sam Darnold change excites some of them.
I mean, Cooper Kupp more than Sam Darnold. Ooh. I think there's going to be people like, there's a lot of people that are kind of your casual fan who know Cooper Kupp and are excited to see Cooper Kupp, and they could play that up.
Yeah.
If in preseason Jalen Milroe plays well and it looks like he's going to be part of the offense in some way,
forget it.
That I'm telling you, the amount of interest in him is like out of this world. Like, it's the people are super interested in him, even if it's a little bit, I think, overstimulation. But I don't know, like, that's a big part of that game. I'd be curious to see how Seahawks fans show up to it. I don't think we have to spend a bunch of time on week three, but you know, of the three games, that seems like the one that they're most certain to win. Yes,
it might be the easiest game on their schedule, frankly. Yeah. I mean, that the Saints are a disaster right now. They're like, I saw an NFL thread conveniently on them today. It was a Reddit post asking, you know, which NFL team has the bleakest future. And the Saints were up top, and it's hard to blame them. Like, Derek Carr retiring. I mean, in a way, him retiring kind of gets them out of cap hell, but they don't have a lot of talent, I think, that makes somebody optimistic about the future. So bottom line is, better not lose that game.
All right. We have got the official schedule. I'm going to share this. I'm going to go back to my pretty one in a second, but I will share this so we can look at times together for the first time, and also confirmation.
Oh, thank you.
We have got 1 o'clock. So it's not a primetime game to open the season. 10 a.m. in Pittsburgh. 10 a.m. game. Then we have got a 1 o'clock start at home for New Orleans. Not a shock that that's not a primetime game. It is a Thursday night game in Arizona. Then home against Tampa Bay, 1 o'clock. Jacksonville, another 10 a.m. game. East Coast 10 a.m. games, man. That's kind of lame. Then we've got Monday Night Football at home against the – it's 7 p.m.
That's got to be a typo. That can't be right.
I'm like, what? That can't be right. All right.
Unless there's like a double they sometimes do the double headers.
The double header. Yeah.
Is that may be 10 p.m. start for me?
I don't know. That's a late, like 7 o'clock Monday night game.
Which game is this?
That doesn't sound usually, right.
This is the Houston Texans game, week 7. It's a 7 o'clock, a late Monday night game.
Is that real?
I think it might be because you're right. I think they've been doing these double headers.
Wait, what? Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay, so is that the second slot then? The first one's like 4:30. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm not getting it. 10 p.m. start my time.
You're up all night. What are you talking about?
2 a.m. You're going to be watching the Seahawks.
Not anymore. I have to get my sleep when I can these days.
But. This is true. You're learning, Papa Jeff. Week 9 is the Commanders. That is Sunday Night Football, as we said, home against the Cardinals, 1 o'clock, away at the Rams, 1 o'clock. Oh, the 10 a.m. game against the Titans. So another 10 a.m. Like all these games, 10 a.m. We thought it was going to be.
What's that local time in Nashville? Is that 10 or
12? Noon?
It's noon. That's noon. Okay, that's what I said.
Enough time to sleep in from Saturday night.
Yep.
Because we're not going to bed early.
We'll see. I'm working that day. We'll see. You guys might not, but I might.
Broadway's pretty crazy, man.
Vikings, not a primetime game. So that's November 30th. Notice that like none of these are Thanksgiving or Christmas games or any of that stuff. So Seahawks, I think, lucked out that way as well. Then they go on the road, another 10 a.m. game against the Falcons. Home against the Colts and Rams, and it is Thursday night, and then away against the Panthers and 49ers. So we had the right schedule. We don't have the dates or the times, I should say, and we don't have the dates even. Like the last 2 weeks of the season, those could be Saturday games. They kind of flex them around. But with this additional info, any thoughts there, guys?
I mean,
the 7 p.m. Monday night game. That's perplexing to me right now. I can't really process that being on the East Coast.
It's preseason, but the first game against Pete Carroll is pretty funny. Right?
Did that get announced too? Did I miss that?
Pete announced it on Brock and Salk.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
He kind of slipped it in there by accident. And then he's like, oh God, PR guy's going to kill me.
But like all the 10 a.m. stuff, it's annoying. What is that? Is every East Coast game a 10 a.m. game? Pittsburgh 1, Jacksonville 2,
Tennessee
3, Atlanta 4. Pretty much everyone that could be a 10 a.m. game is like, that's annoying.
Well, that's what happens when you play the AFC South. They play at 10 a.m. Those games.
Do they? Why do they do that?
Because no one wants to watch them. The next slot is one of the bigger slots. And
oh, that makes a lot of sense, right? So it's because these are crappy teams.
Yeah.
They get the crappier time slot.
Yes. So Jacksonville, Seattle, that makes sense. Tennessee, Seattle, makes sense. Pittsburgh, maybe you could have moved into the next slot, but Atlanta, Seattle, that makes sense. They played last year, 10 a.m. there.
Subtle little thing here, guys. Who did the Seahawks pick for their graphic for the season, for the schedule?
Oh, wow. Kenneth Walker.
Evan, any comments?
Zach Charbonnet, cult members, take the L. I'm sorry that you're not going to live to see this day joyfully. This is a massive setback for you personally and professionally.
So there had been some rumors of the Seahawks maybe making a trade there. It seems a little less likely with the amount of promotion that they're doing there.
Can I ask this?
So let's get back.
Yeah. So like looking at the schedule, week 1, week 12, both the two most interesting games, I think, for me from an attendance perspective. What would come in third for you guys? Like if money didn't matter, you could just show up at a game. Which one intrigues you the most? The third.
Jeff?
Not a lot.
Really?
For me, I think the Michael Penix game.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't think
the Seahawks always play well in Atlanta, like in that dome. Like if I played so well in that stadium, Penix versus the Seahawks would be really cool.
I think it's good at that. That offense is going to be fun to watch.
I guess the Jane Daniels game on primetime.
That's the other miss. That's the other one.
That was a big miss by me. That's got to be up there.
I've never been to DC.
I think those are roughly equal to me.
Wait, what? What's the day of the DC game? Do you have the calendar on that? Because that's
the day of the DC game is November 2nd, and it's a Sunday night game.
That is tempting, guys.
Dude, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be at all these others. I might skip Jacksonville.
It's not the best place to go. I'm a Florida guy. I go to South Florida a lot. Jacksonville's North Florida, which is a big no-no for me. It's not.
I do not see the appeal of going to Jacksonville with
people. Yeah,
it is a hike, man. Like, there's no easy way to fly there. At least from
Jacksonville, not very, have like an airport or something.
It does, but like
not a lot of flights. Alaska, I imagine,
doesn't have like a.
You probably have to fly to Orlando or Tampa.
You know what game is interesting to me is the Texans game. Honestly, if CJ Stroud has a rebound year.
Brian, are you going to be wearing a Lakin Tomlinson jersey?
Oh, massive conflict of interest.
They have Ursary and Lakin Tomlinson.
Oh my gosh! Did you guys see in the chat? Where was this? I'm pretty sure offensive lineman Will Fries invited us to do something with one. So
he's not going to be in Minnesota, but
yeah,
with all the money he made on that contract, there's no wonder. I think okay. Let's before we just go in order, because that's where I was going before. Like, what are the best storyline games? Obviously, DK. Obviously, San Francisco, like divisional games are always good storyline games, but like
Penix
is up there. Sam Darnold
versus JJ McCarthy.
I'm gonna make a prediction right now, and it's gonna be a storyline. You ready?
Yeah.
Nashville, Tennessee, November 23rd, week 12. It's gonna be Jalen Milroe versus
Cam Ward,
Battle of the Rookies. I'm not going to predict bad things to our starting quarterback, but I'm just going to tell you it's going to be a rookie versus rookie face-off. You can timestamp this. You can bookmark it. You can tweet and dunk on me if it doesn't happen. But Jalen Milroe is going to make a start for the Seattle Seahawks in week 12.
I really hope that's not true. I really hope
that's not true. A prophecy.
That's not a good sign if that's happening.
Yeah, Mike Mayock was on the radio today. It was 7:10, I think. And he's like, you shouldn't want Jalen Milroe. And he's very high on Milroe. He's like, you shouldn't want him to play until year three at quarterback. So
people in the chat are calling out Cooper Kupp returning to LA. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? That's a storyline. What about Sam Darnold versus Brock Purdy?
Oh, well, and Clint Kubiak versus Kyle Shanahan. Those two getting back at it.
If Sam Darnold beats Brock Purdy in week one, Grant Cohen is going to be the greatest person on earth.
Well, Clint Kubiak versus the Saints.
I don't know if there's so much bad blood there, though.
No, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm sure he would like to prove his worth there. I mean, what are the top storylines? We've talked about San Francisco, Pittsburgh, Saints. Top storyline for Arizona. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Lockett and Draymond Jones. I didn't even think about that.
Tennessee. Exactly.
The retirement home. The Titans are the retirement home team. Like, everyone just goes there at the end of their career.
It's so true.
And all the Seahawks for whatever reason.
Well, so Arizona, I don't know that there's any specific big storyline. There's no one that's like switched around. It's the same stories as last year, pretty much. Tampa Bay. You've got what? You got Mike Evans. You've got Baker Mayfield. You've got Chris Godwin. You've got, Cody. Is it Cody Mauch?
Yeah.
So he is a North Dakota State Bison, just like Gray Zabel and Jalen Sundell. And he's become one of the best guards in the NFL. in his second year. I'm actually, it's a good chance to announce, I will be talking to their former offensive line coach tomorrow on Hawkblogger Mornings. Round 11, 15.
I'm sorry, who does he play for?
He plays for the Tampa Bay Bucks now, but he played for the North Dakota State college team, which is where Gray Zabel played and Jalen Sundell. So a little bit of a North Dakota State reunion there.
Isn't that where that quarterback, good God, that the Niners drafted?
Trey Lance, yeah.
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 Not a good quarterback school, but they've developed a lot of offensive linemen. I think their whole line from like 2 years ago is in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be talking to their former offensive line coach, Dan Larson, tomorrow. So tune in for that. Jacksonville, what do you guys think of this Jags team? Like, Travis Hunter is like one of the most interesting players in the NFL potentially going into this year, right?
I just can't take them seriously with a general manager who looks younger than me. Like, I just can't.
Uh huh.
Have you guys seen him?
Yes.
Yeah. It's not good.
It's not good. Like, come on, guys. What blackmail does he have on the cons or whatever their names are?
Oh, the cons are like the sneakiest disaster in the league.
Yeah.
Like, they're nobody the speaks like, well yeah. of them.
What's their family fortune? Like, how did they make their money? Do you guys know?
I don't.
Don't
Josh Cashman would. Yeah.
Also, I love that Josh. I need to call him out. Josh can type things in chat and watch this YouTube live stream, but he cannot respond to my Seahawks planning document that I have sent him over text. Josh, pay attention.
No, I think you're missing what he, it's not a capability. It's a desire, difference. Like I've been on the other end of your persistent text messages. I understand why Josh may be giving you the ghost treatment.
I'm here for accountability.
Dude works fast, man.
Yeah. I don't know that Jacksonville game. I'm basically the same place you are, Evan, but then I was like, well, Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas, like there's some interesting stuff going on there. Maybe they'll be interesting.
No, those two players are two of the most, like if you watched Brian Thomas last year, he was maybe the most fun player in the whole league, but he was on such an irrelevant team. No one saw him. I had him in fantasy football. That's why I watched him every week. But outside of that, they have that goofy head coach with the doofus GM and not a lot of interesting players on defense.
So one other call out I just want to make on the schedule here. This is something I think we complained about last year. There's no three games played in 10 or 11 days or whatever it is. There was a stretch last year.
Oh yeah. That was horrible.
And it's kind of been like a consistent theme, I think, that fans and teams have complained about. Based off the schedule you just showed and some of the comments I'm seeing, I do not believe that's a factor this year. So,
yeah, I mean, some of the patterns you look at, like home, away, home, away, home, away, home. So they're alternating home and away all the way through the bye week. They division games. They have two division games in their first 9 weeks. And then they have four, I guess that would be the right math. Four in the last, in the last 9 weeks, they don't play back-to-back division games until week 10 and 11. They have two game road trips, right? Week 11 and week 12 against LA and Tennessee. Week 17 and 18 against Carolina and San Francisco. They don't have any back-to-back East Coast games, right? Like they could have had Pittsburgh and Jacksonville in back-to-back weeks and been crisscrossing the country, but every one of the East Coast games is separated out.
Yeah.
And that was what I was saying with rest differential. Like even like, the fact that the short week after Monday Night Football is a bye, I think that's a really good thing. Those weeks are always really, really hard. And then they have a bye coming into the Sunday night game as well. I think that looks really good. And I think you're right about spreading out the country. And even like after the Thursday night game, they have a really good rest until their home game. They're coming off a home game on the short week that week. Like the three games in 11-day period where they had that with San Francisco and Detroit last year, just kind of crushed the middle part of their season, their defense. And 2 years ago, they had that stretch where they had that insane stretch of like San Francisco, Philly, Dallas. There was another team in there that just destroyed any hope they had in the middle of the year. Doesn't look like there's any of those stretches. I think they came out pretty favorably on both sides of that.
You know what's interesting is the Commanders, their week eight, while we're on a bye, while the Seahawks are on a bye, they're going to be at Kansas City for a Monday night football game. So they're going to travel to Kansas City. Then they come home for a Monday night game. So they'll be normal rest, but shorter. Like they'll have had a very intense game. And then they come home to face the Seahawks who are coming off a bye.
That's a big deal. And the other thing I noticed earlier, I sent in that projected Rams schedule. I don't know if it's confirmed, but the Thursday night game we play, they play the Lions in week 15, I believe, which is one of the most physical teams that I think the teams that give the toughest turnaround last year was the Lions.
You are correct.
So
they play home against the Lions the week before.
And then they got to travel in a short week. That's a big
short
deal.
Week up to Thursday night to play the Seahawks. That's good.
I just know that week 18 game is going to come down to a brutal slog fest for like a divisional title. I just know it.
It's happened a lot, right? Like that last game, that last divisional game, how many times has that like decided something pretty big for the Seahawks?
You guys want to go to San Francisco in week 18? Seahawks jerseys?
Dude, it was so fun last year. It was, of course, I was safe up there in the
Yeah, you had security around you, okay? You had security.
But dude, did you see my pictures? It was empty. Like, people don't go. Like, that is the most disengaged fan. Like, it's the most fake fan base. Like, they are so, like, all this tough guy crap and, like, doxing us and like threatening us with bodily harm, and then they don't even go to support their own team at all. Like
the second they have a bad season.
Like they didn't sell them to opposing fans either. Like nobody wanted them. Yeah. Like nobody wanted to watch them play.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now
what
was I gonna say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off. So we have four primetime games? 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah.
Four primetime. How did that compare against last year? Did we have like three last year? I think it was.
I would have guessed three.
I feel like we didn't have many last year.
There's the Packers game.
Which I was.
Let's pretend never happened.
I'm so mad about that outcome still.
Yeah.
Oof, that was rough.
What were the other primetime games last year?
I'm looking it up right
Lions.
Now.
Oh, they played San Francisco. Lions. Yeah, I think they
Monday
played
Night
San
Football,
Francisco on a Thursday.
DK Metcalf shot his pants on Monday Night Football.
The Rams weren't. Yeah, I think that was it.
Detroit, San Francisco.
People are saying it was four also last year. So,
what was the fourth?
Lions and Packers.
Green Bay.
Bills
and then
wasn't.
Chicago.
Oh my God.
Oh
my God. I forgot that that
Brian
game
said that was
happened.
A good game.
I'm so
I like that right. game.
That's up there for like one of the worst Seahawks.
That game will prevent Ryan Grubb from ever being in the NFL again.
Maybe,
or going to heaven.
Maybe. What about the 49ers Rams game that was like the week or two earlier? Oh, does that mean Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan can't coach either?
Well, that was anyway. At least in a rainstorm.
And so was the Bears-Seahawks game. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Come on. All right. So, yeah, I mean, if you just look at this, there's no, like, bunching of the toughest opponents. There's no bunching of the division games. There's no bunching of road games. There's no bunching of long road trips. You don't have to travel internationally. You don't have to have, like, these three games in a – like. Is there anything they could have made this more advantageous? Like I personally like easier starts. Like I like it. I think it's good for teams to start off 2-0, 3-0 if you can. But there's the other advantage. If you win those first two games, you could be in for a really good year.
Not only that, I mean, the story of this schedule to me, guys, looking at this right in front of me is like you're starting the season against the Niners. And you're ending it against them. This is a division rival that has dominated the NFC West and dominated us, frankly, for too many years. The tide seemed to be turning. Week one is an opportunity for Mike McDonald and this squad to show them there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to set the tone. And if they start up 1-0 against that team at home in week one, it puts them on their back feet immediately. But I think that week 18 game is going to be like a do or die, very tense.
I think week one might be. They're going to come in here thinking that they're going to reestablish like who they are and that they're the big guys in town.
Yeah.
If they come into that game healthy and they lose, I think that really sets a tone. Now they have a very easy schedule. I'm going to show you guys the 49ers, Rams and Cardinals schedule here in a second. We'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. But I think that would be a huge blow if the Seahawks could get that game.
They have the last place schedule this year, so that's a...
What was that, Jeff?
Well, the Niners are going to have the last place schedule, so instead of playing Washington and Atlanta... No, not Atlanta. We play the South. But instead of playing Washington, some of the teams we have to play against, they're going to get the last place team in that division, so it's probably the Giants. And
I'm curious to see... I'm just pulling up tickets on my side screen here. Good Lord, why is this not loading? I want to see how much opening day is right now, and I'm a little nervous.
Well,
it's probably the peak moment of demand, literally 10 minutes after the 20 minutes of the schedule got released.
All right, you guys want to look at the 49ers schedule?
Yes, I do.
Sure.
All right. Gosh darn it. Let's find a better picture than what I just found. So the 49ers schedule.
I just got an idea. I feel like Grant Cohn should like drop in on our season prediction show for the Niners and just do like a little tidbit or something.
I'm sure Grant would be happy to do that. So sorry, I'm just looking for a nice looking version of their schedule. So we don't have to, fine. We'll just do this. Is this schedule out posted? Oh, no. Interesting. All right. Let me go to NFL.com. Someone's got to have a nice looking version of this. I've got the actual schedule. It's easy to show you guys. Maybe I'll just share that for now. Let me do this. I'm going to share this. I'm going to zoom in so you guys can see this, but I want to get the times as well. So this right here, if you can see it, is the San Francisco column. So they go at Seattle, at New Orleans. So they start 2 on the road, home against Arizona, home against Jacksonville. That is an easy opening slate other than going to Seattle. At the Rams, that's a Thursday night game. At Tampa Bay, home against Atlanta on a Sunday night football game. At Houston, that's probably their toughest stretch. Rams, Tampa, like at Rams, at Tampa, home against Atlanta, at Houston. I don't know if the Seahawks even have a stretch
that's hard. That's hard. That 4 is hard.
They
at the New York Giants.
They could lose 3. They could lose 3 of those 4 games.
It's possible. At New York Giants, home against the Rams, at the Cardinals. So they got a couple of these back-to-back division kind of things going on. Home against Carolina, at Cleveland, bye week. Let's hope Shedeur Sanders is really good. they've got a very late bye week. Week 14.
Oh.
I didn't know they did bye weeks that
late. I did not either.
Well,
three. If they get injured, they are screwed. Like, that's a late bye.
Yeah. 13 games in a row for an older team. That's not easy.
Wow. And they're like a good 4 games later than any of the other byes in the NFC West.
Wow.
Yikes.
That's absurd.
Home against Tennessee, at Indianapolis on, what is that? A Monday night game. At Indianapolis on a Monday night. Then they are home against Chicago on a Sunday night game. So they've got 5 primetime games. And then home against Seattle. So they finish, like, we need Chicago to be good. Mm-hmm. Make that a little tougher on them. But it's a very easy schedule in general, but I feel like the NFL made it as tough as possible given the opponents that they've got.
Yeah, the late bye and that midseason stretch are hard, like harder than anything that part of Seattle's schedule. Because, yeah, the opponents they play, if Chicago's not good in that second half, that's a light second half. At Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Chicago, that might be a very light second half. But Chicago's one of the teams that probably has the highest variance of any team in the league this year.
Yep. What about the Rams? Rams have the first place schedule. Let's look at that. They are home against Houston, at Tennessee. Home against Houston's not an easy way to start necessarily. Nope. It's a really good defense.
Depends.
Then they go.
Depends which Houston shows up.
Exactly. They go at Philly. That's like
losing that.
Two of the first three are not easy. Home against Indianapolis. Then they are home for a Thursday night game against the 49ers at Baltimore. Like, we don't have a game. Like, Pittsburgh is not Baltimore. Like, I'd feel very different if you had an at Baltimore on the Seahawks schedule or at Philly. Like, the Seahawks don't have an at Philly on their schedule either. Mm-hmm. Right? At Jacksonville. So they go to Baltimore, then they fly back to Jacksonville. That's one of those back-to-back East. Like, that's rough. And that's in London.
Is it?
That's in London. Jeff, your mic is out again, by the way. That's crazy to me.
So they're flying to Baltimore, they fly back to LA, and then they fly to London.
I'm guessing they won't fly back to LA. I'm guessing they'll just continue on to London. Ooh, but they'll just be gone for 2 weeks.
Jeff, brutal.
That's not nice. The NFL. That's rough. Then they're home. So after they don't even get a bye.
They don't get a bye Jackson. After?
No.
I guess they consider the Saints a bye.
Or Saints.
They have a tough schedule, guys. That is.
But then, Alex, then
it's
tough.
Very compared to the Seahawks. Then after the bye week at San Francisco, home again. So again, they get a back-to-back divisional thing. Then they go home against Tampa in a Monday night game at Carolina, at Arizona. So that's another back-to-back travel, not that far to Arizona, but still. Mm-hmm. Home against Detroit. And then to Jeff's point, at the Seahawks on a short week to Thursday night. And then they go from that to at Atlanta on a Monday night. So they'll have a little bit of a longer stretch there, but that's still, they have a lot of back-to-back road games. And then they finish at home against Arizona.
That's brutal.
That's a tough schedule. That's like a significantly tougher schedule. Am I crazy?
No, they got Baltimore, Philly, and Detroit. And we don't play any of those teams. Those might be three of the four best teams in the league.
Yeah, that feels rough. And they've got an international. They're the only team in the NFC West in the division to have an international game. Sucks to be you, LA. And then Arizona, we'll go through this quickly. At New Orleans, home against Carolina. That is an easy opening two games. Then they go at San Francisco. They host the Seahawks for Thursday night. Home against Tennessee. So they get three home games in the first five. Then they go at Indianapolis. That opening stretch, that's not bad. Like, they, depending on how things go against Seattle, it's not crazy. They could start off 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've got home against Green Bay. We don't have a Green Bay on our schedule, I don't think.
Nope.
Minnesota had a better record, but I still would rather play Minnesota with JJ McCarthy than Green Bay, personally. Bye week, same week as the Seahawks, at Dallas for a Sunday night game, or is that Sunday night game. They only have two primetime games. Nobody wants to watch Arizona. At Seattle, home against San Francisco, home against Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay, home against the Rams, at Houston, home against Atlanta, at Cincinnati late in the season. That's kind of rough. And then like that's that finishing flourish, man. At Tampa Bay, home against the Rams, at Houston, home against Atlanta, at Cincinnati, at LA. That could tumble them off their perch if they start off strong.
So you want to know something disappointing? Houston, hosting Houston Monday Night Football. If you are not local to Seattle, aka if you're a Seahawks fan and you don't currently live in Seattle, that is an ESPN Plus exclusively streamed game. Just FYI. You will need ESPN Plus.
It's like the Dan Orlovsky broadcast.
Yeah, so annoying.
Lame.
Streaming services. I mean,
I feel like the 49ers, I mean, they definitely have the easiest opponents. But as far as like the schedule, did the Seahawks have the best schedule of the four?
I think so at this time. I mean, this very well could change in 3 or 4 months, but based off of what we know about the teams from last year, I just keep coming back to this, guys. There's not a single stretch where I'm like, oh, there's a good chance they lose 3 or 4 of these games, where I see that on the Niners schedule pretty easily. I see that on the Rams schedule pretty easily. I'd have to look back at the Cardinals schedule, but there's just not any series, like consecutive series, that puts the fear of God in me. I mean, does it for you guys?
No. And this is a good question from Chan Man. I mean, I think Jeff talked about this earlier. Any games you want earlier based on quarterback play or later? Like if we put this back up here.
Yeah, pull up the schedule again.
Like, I mean, Matt Stafford could be injured. Like Matt Stafford might not be playing by week 11. I don't think that's crazy.
You're not wrong.
Cam Ward, will he get better as the season goes on or worse? Don't know. JJ McCarthy, same thing. I mean, Bryce Young, he's a high variance guy. You don't know. Michael Penix, I think he's just going to be good. So I assume Michael Penix and Jaden Daniels are going to be good no matter what.
Yeah, there's no one really that jumps out there like Tyler Shuck or Rattler. I don't know if that matters particularly. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers might be pretty rusty. I don't know, but I don't know if it matters again. They played him late last year. It didn't particularly matter. The Seahawks special teams wasn't horrendous. They would have crushed them. What else? Other than that, yeah, there's no one that really jumps out at you. Another thing that's kind of good is there's no real bad weather situations outside of home games.
Yeah.
Like you're playing Pittsburgh in September. That's probably your worst weather situation.
That's a good one.
Really good point.
Carolina, week 17, that's a good weather place. There's no real playing Indy at home. Atlanta's in a dome. Washington's early enough. Yeah, there's no real disastrous Florida. You're in Florida. You're not in Florida in September, which is a good thing too.
Right, it's going to be cooler. It's not going to be like the most humid time of year.
Yeah, like they played an opening game against Jacksonville. Like, but this might have been 2005 or 6.
2012, wasn't it? Like,
No. I think it was 2005.
It was 2005.
I think they lost the opener in that like insanely humid game in Jacksonville. Yep. They're on like IVs, so playing the week 6 is a little better. Yeah, they don't really have, again, Seattle is really their only impediment to weather here.
Got a question here from Halo Hawk. Do you guys think Elijah Arroyo could turn out to be what we hoped Jimmy Graham would be for the Seahawks? Love getting to hang with y'all. Go Hawks. Any Elijah Arroyo takes here?
It's not hard to overcome what Jimmy Graham did for the Seahawks. So,
yeah, I think Elijah Arroyo definitely has got some growing to do before we can talk about him in the same category as Jimmy Graham. But I think he's got a real potential to be the best Seahawks tight end that they've had in a long time.
From like a skill set, I was kind of watching Arroyo highlights. I think it was on your show, Brian. Like what he does really well is actually very Jimmy Graham-esque, but they're not going to put Arroyo as a blocker on the line of scrimmage and try to convince us that he's going to be a complete tight end. I think his coaching staff would have a particularly better plan. But But no, Jimmy Graham was like top of his game when they traded him. He was like an all pro every year for like 4 years with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. This is a guy who played like 1 year of college football. So I see what they're getting at, just like skill set wise, but not quite there yet.
Yeah, it's the slower roll a little bit there, but I think it's a fair like skill set comparison. So the Eden fam says, Brian, would you consider doing an HB meetup in Nashville? There's a lot of us Seattle transplants down here.
So one thing I'd like to know, I've been to one Titans game and it was years ago on like Christmas Eve. I think it was against the Chargers like years ago. Well, I want to know more about like the tailgating situation. Is it a bar city? Like I remember there was like, there's a lot of room near the stadium, near the water, but there wasn't a big tailgate scene going on relative to some other stadiums. So if you guys can let us know about like the pregame there, because it starts at noon. I want to know more because I don't think I did it right for the one time I was down there.
Also, if anybody has a 5,000 square foot mansion with 8 beds and 4 baths and like a bar in the basement, please DM us. Let me know. For no particular reason whatsoever.
Well, we might do an HB crew meetup on Friday, but then like maybe we'll do something Saturday where we open it up a little bit.
Let's not act like you're not going out Saturday night.
I'm gonna go out. You said I don't know how late I'll go out, but I'll go out.
Cue to like 4 a.m. Brian's at Tootsie's, which is like the big bar there. It's like the four level country music bar.
I mean, Jeff, when I was in Arizona with Evan and Josh, I ended up being subjected to a picture that Evan still posts every time he has a chance. He like literally was having people Venmo him money to buy me drinks.
We might have too big of a crew for that this time.
I absolutely did. Zero regrets. I stand by that behavior.
Keep an eye on this. I think it's likely we will try to do something. I don't know. Like I'll have to see which of the crews all up for it, but I think it'd be fun to do that. Don Moore has either become a member or upgraded membership. So great to have Don aboard. Thank you. We already did the Will Fries piece here. Amy Holmes, who's been a member for 9 months. I don't know how to pronounce this username. It's Nugosh. He is the guy I generally talk about as the troll of our chat because he always has something negative to say, no matter how positive things are. He has been super positive about this schedule, and I just want to commend him. Talk about we don't play any great QBs. I think other than Jaden Daniels, I would say that probably qualifies, but generally speaking, I think that's mostly true. And I just love positivity. I love the positivity, man. So I love Amy for calling that out. Jackson says, JJ will get hurt. Sam Howell revenge game. I hadn't thought about that.
Howell versus Darnold. Have you guys thought about that? No. If McCarthy gets hurt and Howell has to play there, it's going to be annoying because I don't think he'll be bad.
I mean, he's got a lot to work with.
Now that they've beefed up their interior O-line, the best situation.
I don't want to. Yeah, where we're losing the Sam Howell. Please do not.
That's a good one though, Jackson. Thank you for that. Peter DeLeon Guerrero says, Brian, will you guys be going to the Titans game? Yes, we are. Like, I think all of us are. I don't know if Nathan is yet. I don't know if we've harassed Nathan into going, but myself, Evan, Jeff,
Josh,
Dana, Derek, Josh, we're all going.
We'll be there. Cannot wait.
You will potentially find get some damaging footage of us walking down the Nashville Strip. So, Garth Knight says, Brian, are you worrying about East Coast games again, like pre-Pete Russ era? I'm not. I don't know about you guys. I could just say for myself, like last year was the first time I traveled with the team, like not literally with the team, but followed to all the games. And the East Coast trips are no joke, man. Like even if you're flying chartered, it doesn't like I've flown like first class times. Like I'm not saying I did that, but somehow I got upgraded. It doesn't really matter that much. It's just like a lot of time to spend in a metal tube. And yeah, so nothing specific, but I think the Seahawks obviously did pretty well last year. On their road trip. So I'm not particularly worried. Taker 610. This is about as favorable as we could hope for. I think we all agree with that. Last one here. Blaze says, just got tickets for Niners versus Hawks week one. I'm hyped. ASF, Hawks fan from Cali. Going to be my first Seahawks game in Seattle. Any recommendations? Evan, you've got all sorts of places you love in Seattle. Any recommendations for Blaze here in his first trip?
For like pre-gaming, I don't really have like a strong.
What about just Seattle in general? Don't say book a trip to Arizona.
You have to go to Matador and get their nachos.
Yes, that's the right answer.
Matador's happy hour nachos.
Steak
happy steak hour. Are they $5? Is that what it is?
Oh, I don't know.
It's so disgustingly cheap price. Like from like 2015, 2010 pricing. Like it is.
Dude, they could be $25 and they
could be $75.
And they're so good.
Matador nachos, they're you so have
good. To go. You're making me hungry, dude. Yeah, that's a good call for sure. I would say ferry rides, the obvious one. You got to take ferry rides. Alki Beach is great. There's all sorts of great places to go. So highly recommend. I'm happy to share some more suggestions. All right. So, guys, we just looked at this. I'm like, I can't quite get over it, honestly. Like, when have you ever seen a schedule where your reaction was like, they just kind of did everything they could possibly do to benefit us? Other than maybe if they had switched, like started with, you know, if they switched week one and week three, I would kind of like that. Start with New Orleans and get a nice, easy win.
Yeah, I was going to say the start's a little tough, but outside of that, pretty balanced.
I mean, they haven't faced many divisional opponents in week one at home. They've only done this three times, actually, since they were in the NFC West. It was the Rams a couple of years ago. That did not go well.
Oh, God.
49ers in 2010. They blew the 49ers out in Pete's first game. And then they had the Rams as a home team when they were from St. Louis in 2009. They also beat the Rams in that game. So it doesn't happen that often.
The Rams in overtime 1 year in week one. I think Tyler Lockett's first game. Wasn't that week one?
That was an away game. That was in St. Louis.
Oh, it's a away game. It's a stupid game.
Tyler Lockett's first game was he had his punt return touchdown.
He did, but they lost in overtime to like Nick Foles in like a game they should have won easily.
They had a lot of stupid games in St. Louis.
Yeah.
What's the sneakiest game on here that's going to be harder than we're making it out to be?
I think they could lose that Bucks game at home.
That is exactly
Tampa's really good. They're team. Good.
That's exactly the game I was looking at.
I was at a Tampa game years ago where they were up down 21-0 and they came back to win. But this Tampa team is like, they're one of the best run franchises, like low key in the league. They just draft really well every year, and that's going to be a hard game. Like, they got Vita Vea, Wirfs. Like, that's tough. Mike Evans. That's
I would go team. A step further. I would expect not to win that game, frankly. Like, if we're doing
at home.
Yeah. If we're doing season prediction shows like today, I'm probably chalking up that one as a loss.
I think it's a 50-50 game. Yeah.
I'm going to go with that's definitely the one that stood out to me. The other one that I think you guys might laugh at me, to me, like between Jacksonville and Carolina.
Oh, stop it. I knew you were going to say
I'm going to tell you, for away games.
We always lose those games.
Like,
Brian's just got a hard on for that head coach over there, Mr. Pete Carroll disciple.
Oh, Dave Canales. No, like Bryce Young started playing well. Like he gave the Falcons like a lot of trouble at the end of the season. They didn't they give the Eagles trouble?
They should have beat the Eagles. They dropped the touchdown. They should have won. In the end zone.
They should have won.
And so you're talking about them at home, and they've added some. Didn't they add like who was the first player they drafted?
Tet McMillan.
Right. 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 Right.
Your least favorite player.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't draft him. I don't know. That's a sneaky one. I don't think it's like I wouldn't look at that and say, oh, it's just like playing, you know, at Detroit or something like that. But well,
that's another thing too about the schedule. If like you go through like who are like the new impact rookies, like they don't really play like play Hunter. They don't really play Cam Ward. But they don't really play a lot of like fearsome guys. You got like Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan and Abuka.
Guys, I was listening to the Athletic Football Show pod with Robert Mays and Derek Klassen earlier today, and they were going through offseason buy or sell for the NFL's middle class. These are the teams that aren't quite playoff teams from their perspective, but are like competitive. They're not the worst teams that are going to pick in the top 10. The Seahawks are in there, by the way. And then they did this based off of Vegas odds. The Seahawks play the Colts, the Jaguars, the Falcons, the Cardinals, all in that middle class. Like, that's what it feels like. It just feels like this, like,
mid-league schedule.
Mid. It just feels like a mid-fest. And the NFC West used to feel like that was like the Titans, like not the Tennessee Titans, but like the just really good teams. Just don't feel like San Francisco is a super team anymore.
They're not. They're old. They're washed. They're on their way out. They really are. I'm pulling up. I want to see what the sports books have to say about the Seahawks right now. So,
are the lines, the game lines are out already?
Oh, yeah. Let's look at that.
So, Seahawks, Niners at Seahawks, the money line. It's -120 for the Niners. So Seahawks +100. The spread.
Wow, Seahawks are underdogs.
Yeah, Seahawks are underdogs. The spread is 1.5. +475 for Seahawks to win the NFC West.
Huh. We'll have to look more into that. That's fascinating to me.
That gives you some shows, Brian.
It does. I'm actually going to be going on with Brock and Salk tomorrow at 8:30, and we're going to be talking about the schedule. I'm going to try to get Derek Klassen on the show later this week, because Derek is super skeptical about what's going on with the Seahawks, and I really just want to talk it through with him. I'm not going to like trap him or anything, but I just don't get it. I don't get like, if Geno Smith was Russell Wilson in his prime, and you then moved to like, and then you went like, I almost would get it more if it was Russell Wilson in his prime to Geno Smith, and that was what people were reacting to, is like, you willingly did that. This is just not that. So I'm just so confused by how skeptical people are of this team.
He really, I listened to their show. He really struggles with the Geno thing.
He does.
He struggles because he's like, I like their draft. And the receiver thing, they were a little.
No, they were. I felt like they were supportive of the DK shakeup.
No, they like, we like trading DK. We love the draft. But they're like, you could have just kept Geno. But you've gone from Geno to. Now that you have Darnold and Milrow, like, it's hard not to see, like, that's a coherent plan where you have a plan A, a plan B, you're set up really well for the future. Like, you couldn't have really done that if you kept Geno. Like, I find this plan far more coherent from risk and reward. And
I think that they'd be a better team, or like they'd have a better opportunity if Geno Smith was still their quarterback. That's what I still believe.
I understand.
But at the same time, like, it's the same way I feel like they would be a better offensive line if they had signed Will Fries. Okay. So like, it's not like I think that everything's worked out perfectly, but the fact of the matter is the ceiling is higher with a young Sam Darnold and a younger Jalen Milrow and the cap space than it would have been to sign Geno Smith to the contract that he wanted. Mm-hmm. The ceiling is actually higher for the offensive line with Gray's. Like, if they had signed Will Fries, I almost guarantee you they would not have drafted Gray Zabel.
Really?
Well, they would not have used that. I almost guarantee they would not have used the first pick. They had to.
Do you think they would have taken Eamon Wari there?
I think they would have taken Eamon Wari. They would have taken somebody else.
Jeez.
A different position. And then they would have taken maybe Jonah Savainaya or someone else in the second round. Who knows? Like, it could have still
worked out. That draft would have felt a lot worse.
It would have felt way different. So, like, the ceiling's higher. The risk is also higher.
I guess, what are you really risking? What are you really risking, though?
Exactly. Like, they weren't going to be a Super Bowl team with Geno.
You're risking, 11 versus 9 wins in, like, the worst-case scenario? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think these people – I'm not – Derek Lawson's great. Like, I'm not ripping him. So I think they're missing that point, that piece of it.
All right, guys. Well, we have covered a lot of ground. There's another super chat here. Let me get to this real quick. Cameron has said, odds on who is starting week two for the Steelers. I think you probably mean quarterback. Do you guys assume it's Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Let me give you a question there. Who would you have the least confidence in the Seahawks beating? Who would you feel most worried about? Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, or Kirk Cousins?
Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, or Kirk Cousins?
Mm-hmm. If they were the quarterback for the Steelers.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers still. He's shown.
Most worried about?
Least. Yes, most worried about.
But it's.
Probably Rodgers.
He showed he still has like a throw or two in him every once in a while.
Mason Rudolph did end the Pete Carroll era.
He did. The troll answer is Mason Rudolph because I mean he already beat the Seahawks, but I think Kirk Cousins is the answer for me. I think he like certainly had injury issues last year, but I think he's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Mason Rudolph ended. It was the death nail in Brian Nemhauser's allegiance to Pete Carroll. That was the game.
That was the game. That is not true. That was the best post-game show radicalized you
when they came to Seattle, ran for like 400 yards and put up like 350 points on us.
No, it was like the Bucks game in Germany really broke Brian that one year.
Yes. I think if you want to say it, Evan, like that was the final nail, maybe. Sure. Like the body was in the coffin. The nails had already been placed. There was one more corner left to knock down. And that was like, yeah, give me a sledgehammer because that thing's getting
slapped. Was that the paperback episode?
No, I didn't
know. That was Cole McCoy.
That was just pure rage and heartache. Like humiliation is what it was. And you know, like it's fun to kind of look back in a way, guys, because that was a point where you just felt like the team didn't have a heart.
Yeah.
And I feel like the team had a heart last year, and I feel like it's going to have even a bigger one this year.
Well, that's the thing. The baseline of that defense is like, it's such a big part of how to project them and why I don't really understand the 7.5. Like they basically bring back the entire defense and they added some rookies. So, with a defensive head coach. So that's a big difference to what that season was where they look gutless.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't see that. All right. We got a couple more super chats. I know we got to run here in a sec. Dogzilla Monster says, what game is most dangerous for Sam Darnold and how early? I'll bring the schedule back up. Any thoughts here? What game is most dangerous for Sam Darnold? 49ers defense. Nick Bosa is still very dangerous. He can be dangerous for any quarterback. Fred Warner is obviously really dangerous.
He tormented them in that. He had a 97-yard touchdown on them last year.
He did. He played really well against them.
Maybe Pittsburgh if they just destroy the interior of the O-line.
Yeah. I like Derek Harmon a lot.
They got a good D-line, but like not a lot of edge rush that would scare you in Arizona, Tampa, Jacksonville, Houston, maybe.
Tampa's an interesting one with Kalijah Kancey. They've got some interesting pass rush, don't they? Who's the guy?
They got Hassan Reddick.
Didn't they? They have a guy like had like double digit sacks last year. I'm forgetting his name, but I think the Texans, to me, might be the best defense they play in the first 6 weeks.
And I was looking. Washington has no edge rush at all.
No.
They lost Washington's their entire edge rush.
Still kind of piecemeal together. All right. Last super chat, and then we're going to close up shop here. Purdy extension over under 45 million. It's got to be way over, right?
Way over. That's really low.
I think it ends up.
I'm still thinking 55.
I think it ends up at 55, to be honest. It's going to be like a really heavy guarantee. but I think it's going to come under Dak in terms of AAV. So.
All right. Somebody said something about that my interview with DeMarcus Lawrence made it into the Chargers schedule video.
Oh, can we watch that live, please?
All right. Let me try to find it.
Apparently,
they must be playing the Cowboys.
Apparently, people really like the Seahawks schedule video, too. I don't know if we can watch that live without, I don't know,
fair use or not. Yeah.
I'm probably going to get some sort of copyright strike for this.
Yeah, we don't want to take away demonetized.
I can delete this part of the video. All right. So let me see if I can play this. All right. Hold on.
I think if we like pause it and talk about it briefly, I think it's considered fair use. Wait, is there volume coming through that we're supposed to be hearing?
Oh, hold on. Let me do this again. Okay. I will share it so that you guys can hear. I did not have volume on. All right, here we go. You should be able to hear it now.
It's 5 minutes?
Yeah, are you going to be able to make it out of it? Yeah,
that's hilarious, though.
I mean, I got to run.
I mean, hopefully the person's right. You guys ever play Minecraft?
I wasn't a Minecraft guy.
No, I was never a Minecraft guy.
Imagine going to college for like 4 years and this is like the career you end up working. Can you imagine?
Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely, thank you.
Get
him, Mike. Hustle in there.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. Seahawks play Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones beat him again. And then, I would not be able to handle that. Oh. Man, is Sam going to Miami? Steelers. Man, what did they play the They're the Cowboys' third to last game of the season, so we're going to have to wait a little while.
My God! That's my God!
Raiders, okay. 3 more games. Save our fish fish. I feel like there's nothing up here. I just want to find travel. All right, Cowboys, here we go.
Okay,
all right. There we go.
I was hoping for a cameo of your face, but we'll take it.
I'm glad it was not a cameo of my face. They were wise to leave me out of it. But dude, thanks for coming on. Have a great rest of your night. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. This has been another episode of Real Hawk Talk. We've got the Seahawks schedule. We'll be talking about it more over the next coming days. Tomorrow morning, I'll be on with Brock and Salk at 8:30. I will be on with Coach Don Larson, excuse me, Dan Larson from North Dakota State, who coached Gray Zabel, Jalen Sundell. We'll talk to him tomorrow. That will be at 11:15. I'll probably start the episode around 11 and then welcome on the coach and we'll talk there. So a little bit later for Hawk Blogger Mornings than normal, but I will see you then. And then Friday, I'm going to look to see, I have a guest I'm working on. We'll see if I can get him on. It is great to have you all here. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your night.